evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 26, 2016. Taban Dengai is the country's new first vice president.
I will work with all of you, Your Excellency the President. We must cooperate with the intelligence community, provided that they respect this country as a constitution, this country has a president, and have a law to be followed.
And Riek Machar's supporters say the August peace deal has collapsed.
By installing Taban, it's actually exacerbating the plight of these people in the refugee camps. The people in South Sudan have suffered so long, we cannot play games by changing seats that are being changed by Salva himself.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Taban Dengai is officially South Sudan's first vice president. His swearing-in took place today at the presidential palace in Juba. He replaces Riek Machar, whose whereabouts is unknown since he fled the capital 2 weeks ago after fighting broke out between Machar's forces and those loyal to President Salva Kiir. Taban says his main priorities are to end the fighting, allow IDPs to safely return home, and to merge the two armies into one. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
Viva! SPLM in opposition and SPLM officials upload their respective movements minutes before President Kiir swears in Taban Dengai as the nation's first vice president at a ceremony in the presidential palace known as J1. Chief Justice Chan Rech Madut administered the oath of office to Deng one day after President Kiir issued an order to replace Machar, who has been in hiding since earlier July, shortly after the fighting erupted in Juba. After his swearing-in, Deng wiped away tears as he vowed to work with President Kiir in merging the SPLM-IO and SPLM armies into one.
I will work with all of you, Your Excellency the President. We must cooperate with the intelligence community, provided that they respect this country as a constitution, this country as a president, and have a law to be followed. As I said, you are my commander-in-chief. The country cannot have two armies. I will move with you very fast to finish the integration and unification of our forces.
Deng says his other priorities are to improve humanitarian and economic conditions. President Salva Kiir says he will cooperate with the SPLM-IO leadership to end the country's conflict, and he welcomed Deng's decision to cooperate with the international community. He acknowledged the role played by the UN peacekeepers in South Sudan, but added that he does not see any need to deploy more foreign troops in the country. The UN and the African Union have proposed to deploy regional troops in the country to keep the peace. President Kiir strongly opposes that move.
To any other forces that are inside Juba, all the UN agencies are free in South Sudan. Behaviors of individuals, yes, should not be counted on the government, because they are everywhere in the world. Not everybody that can follow whatever is said by the government. So let us go back to the drawing board and we start to implement this agreement, and so that we don't disappoint all the friends that have been already disappointed.
Vice President James Wanyika says Taban's appointment to replace Machar is legal under Article 6, Subsection 4 of the IGAD brokered peace. The article states that in the event that the post of the first vice president falls vacant for any reason, the replacement shall be nominated by the top leadership of the SPLM-IO, which shall not exceed 48 hours. Wanyika says Taban is now the first vice president.
You see this, ladies and gentlemen, including our friends in the IGAD, our friends in AU, our friends in UN, and in the international community as a whole. We have not done this illegally, not we, it is the IO, they have not done this illegally, and we in the government headed by our president is only in respect of the will of the IO and also in accordance with this agreement.
President Kiir says Deng have 13 troops which he says should cease hostilities immediately. He also denied that influencing SPLM-IO factions in Juba to select Deng.
For the reunification of the SPLM, which I know that some people here in this hall are against, I don't think that we will work according to what friends tell us. Friends can support us to some extent, and they leave us there to complete our journey.
President Kiir has tasked the SPLM-IO leadership to write to the stakeholders of the August Peace Accord about the current changes in the country. Former Vice President Riek Machar was not immediately available for comment. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
First Vice President Taban Dengai says South Sudanese must support President Salva Kiir to end insecurity in the country. Deng says the demilitarization of Juba town, as stipulated in the August Peace Agreement, is a daunting challenge to the transitional government of national unity. He says South Sudanese must start building confidence in the country's army, the police, and other organized forces to end the vicious cycle of violence among different communities. Deng is also appealing to the internal displaced persons who sought refuge at various UN camps to return to their homes and help rebuild the country.
The government must function as a government of national unity and a government for everybody. The messages should go to our people, must be positive messages, that it is their country, that they must help their government to address the issues. One, we must make the people in IDP's camps be confident that the police, which are police doing the policing in Juba, or in Wau or Bantiu or Malakal, is their police. They are the army there which is protecting the nation is for them.
The one important issue that has been very sticking between the SPLM-IO and the government was the issue of demilitarization of Juba. Are you looking into that question as well?
We must continue to demilitarize not only Juba, but all our population centers. But how do we do it? This is a process. As I'm talking to you, I have an experience. I was a young officer in the SPLM-SPLA. During the liberation time, I was given a chance of going to a refugee camp in Itang. Those days, Itang used to have 700,000 people. And it was a big the military garrison. It was a camp that, which is armed. It took us about 6 months to do the policing, to disarm people, to take away the armed soldiers away from the population centers. Yes, it is a process. It is not one day. It is not just on the paper written that people must be demilitarized and that it happened tomorrow. No, we are going to have strategies, plans, cooperation on how to implement the demilitarization of Juba. Experiences like what we have faced in Itang can also work in Juba. Juba is not only the Gale Farm garrison or the southern garrison. Every house is a garrison. There are people having in their houses, arms, even machine guns. To do this is a process, as I told you. It's a process that will involve the army, will involve the police, will involve also the people. And it is something which is not going to antagonize anybody. It is something that should be embraced by everybody. All of us, we have to cooperate, the people, the police, the army, and the security element, and everybody.
Your colleagues in the SPLM-IO, some of them have been speaking from Nairobi, quite vocal about the changes within the party, and especially your nomination as the country's first vice president. Now that you have been sworn in, what message do you have for them, if any?
No, the message for them is that let them come to Juba. We come and build the country and help ourselves. You know, we are not only helping President Salva or helping anybody. It's all of us. This is our nation. Why did we liberate the country after the first of all? Why did we liberate ourselves, including New York? I think the purpose is that we have our country. To have our country, it should be all of us. You know, the problem of South Sudanese is that everybody is in a hurry. Today, who want to be the first vice president today, or who want to be president today, or the speaker of parliament today, or chief of staff today? We should be patient. First of all, let us stop cattle rustling. Let us stop this strained relationship between communities. Let us stop child abduction. Let us stop this striking poverty and hunger. Let us have confidence on ourselves and in the country. Let us reconcile ourselves. Let them just come home. I was with them in Nairobi. But I think now we have a chance of rebuilding the country. We come here. Let us discuss our issues.
During the meeting that you held in Juba with your colleagues in the SPLM-IO, I watched some video clips, and you said in the clip that you are there just to fill the vacuum. Should Dr. Riek Machar come back to Juba tomorrow, you will resign. Is that still your stand?
Yes, you know, I you remember I told you from the start of this interview that I'm never vying for this position. I'm only filling a vacant according to directive and dictation of my leadership. if the situation dictates itself again, that Riek Machar come back to this position, I don't think it will be me, Taban Deng, to be an obstacle, if that can bring peace to my country.
That's Taban Dengai, South Sudan's newly appointed first vice president. He was speaking to me earlier today from Juba, shortly after his swearing in as the country's first vice president to replace Riek Machar, who disappeared from Juba after heavy fighting erupted between Machar's forces and the South Sudan army. An official of the South Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition says General Taban Dengai does not represent the entire former rebel movement. Goi Joyol, SPLM in opposition representative to Ethiopia and the African Union, says President Kiir is not interested in peace because removing Machar as first vice president violates the peace agreement that ended the 2 years of fighting.
If you could remember, 2 days ago, Taban Deng was relieved of his duties by first vice president Dr. Machar. And the letter was given to President Salva Kiir about that effect. But they went ahead with the hatching of the coup. Taban Dengai and Ezekiel Lol and two others went ahead and installed Taban Dengai to be the chairman of the SPLMIO. I would like to tell you that we have 28 members of the political bureau of the Central Committee for the SPLMIO. Only four out of these are in Juba. Only four out of 28. How would four people decide on a leadership of the whole organization like SPLMIO?
According to Ezekiel, Taban Deng and the others are interested in peace coming to South Sudan.
All of us are very interested in peace. Dr. Machar did not go out of Juba because he wishes to just go for a walkabout. His bodyguards were slaughtered. He was pushed out of Juba, and he was concerned about his safety. He told Salva Kiir, I need my safety guaranteed so that we go ahead with the peace agreement. Remember, it was Dr. Riek Machar and his team that signed the peace agreement. Majority of South Sudanese died during the last 2 years. And when this peace agreement became a light of hope for many civilians who are in the UN camps in South Sudan. But by installing Taban, it's actually exacerbating the plight of these people in the refugee camps. The people in South Sudan have suffered so long. We cannot play games by changing seats that are being changed by Salva himself.
The government is asking Dr. Riek Machar to return to Juba. Do you know where he is?
He's just around Juba. You know, they are hunting for him day and night. You know, actually, the ceasefire they said would have taken effect a few days ago or a week ago did not happen. Dr. Riek Machar was pushed out of his cantonment area. Contrary to IGAD resolution, Dr. Machar should go back to his area and then people should start talking. But he was pushed out of his area. He's being hunted around Juba. And he's being told, you come and show yourself up, you'll be spared, and let's go ahead as things as usual. All of his bodyguards, 37 of them, were slaughtered in Juba. That fateful day of Friday, he was not killed that day, but he was followed on Sunday. His house was razed down.
You said earlier that you think that, you believe that President Salva Kiir is behind what is happening. Do you think President Salva Kiir is trying to assassinate or hurt Dr. Riek Machar?
The writings are on the wall. You know, Dr. Machar was almost killed in that attack that was hacked in J1, because if they could have succeeded that day, they could have gone with their plan. When they failed to assassinate Dr. Riek Machar that day, they went and razed down his house. If that is not an assassination attempt, what would you call it?
That's Goi Joyol, SPLM in opposition representative to Ethiopia and the African Union. He was speaking to VOA's James Batty from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. A South Sudanese analyst says the changes in the SPLMIO leadership could drag South Sudan back into war. Remember, Mia Mingi says the August peace deal should be implemented by both President Kiir and members of the SPLM in opposition to avoid what he calls full-scale war. Mia Mingi insists the process that just took place to replace Machar as the country's first vice president is a violation of the August peace agreement.
I am sincerely shocked and very disappointed that at this stage in the history of the country, when we thought that finally the country was beginning to crawl towards the goal of peace, that the president will then use the power that is entrusted in him by the people to undo the little progress that has been made towards peace. So this is a very disappointing. It is a very sad day in the history of South Sudan.
President Kiir will argue that he is just following the recommendations of the SPLMIO. You remember SPLMIO members met and nominated Taban Dengai to replace Dr. Riek Machar, who has not been seen for almost 3 weeks now.
That will be extremely dishonest for the office of the president to make such an argument for a number of reasons. And number one, we know that the circumstances under which Dr. Riek Machar left Juba were circumstances that if Salva Kiir himself or anybody in the government was put into, they will have only two options, to stay and die or to run for their lives. The agreement that provides for the transitional government of national unity is quite clear. It says that in the event that the office of the vice president falls vacant, then the top leadership mechanism within the IO will be the one to nominate. The top leadership of IO, according to papers that have been submitted during the peace agreement, composed of the Political Bureau and of the National Liberation Council. And combine that together, you're looking to a number of over 400 people that had been participating in the decision-making process in Padak. I was not in the Crown Hotel in Juba. I doubt if that mechanism constituted legally in Juba.
And what are the implications of these changes for the country?
For me, the first implication is that the peace agreement that was signed last year is right now completely in a danger of collapse, because that peace agreement provided for the transitional period and the structure for governance. Now, what Salva Kiir has done in Juba is to alter that structure, and there's been a number of violations within that agreement. So this is the last nail in the coffin of that peace agreement. Now, the second implication is a very high likelihood of the country going back to full-scale war, because we knew that the agreement itself did not silence the gun in South Sudan, in every part of the country. Now, what is going to happen is that the parties to this agreement, especially the IO, and I will want to believe that Riek Machar is still alive, and I want to believe that he's still in some level of command and control of his armed forces. What Salva has done is to basically provide a rallying ground for Riek Machar to rally around some disgruntled element in South Sudan, and they will certainly go back to war.
What do you make of the reaction from the international community? It looks like the reaction is mute. Nobody is talking. IGAD has not issued a statement. The African Union is silent.
I will want to think that before the international community will certainly make any pronouncement, it is up to the SPLA-IO to be able to prove to the international community, first and foremost, that Riek is still alive and that Riek is still the effective leader of the SPLA in opposition, and provide, of course, for the international community the basis of the illegality of the act that is taken by President Salva Kiir. So I think people want to take their time to study the situation, because on one hand, it is completely an internal process, but on the other hand, it does have implications on the implementation of a peace agreement that has been adopted by the United Nations Security Council, which makes it an international document.
That's Remember Miamingi with the Center for Human Rights, Faculty of Law at the University of Pretoria. He was speaking to me from Pretoria in South Africa. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the Durban AIDS Conference. That story after this.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? people speak out on important questions. The question today:
do creative and talented youth get encouragement and opportunity in your country?
Yeah, I think if you came out and showed that you're good, then opportunity would avail itself.
Not in my country, and even in the whole of Africa, I think we don't. When you go to a place like Israel, even small children are given the opportunity to put their ideas and thoughts together, but not in Africa or my country.
They hardly get it because everybody is fighting to become someone, and it's only those who are at the top that enjoy that privilege. And the less privileged who are talented and creative, they don't get it.
Yeah, I think so. I've been seeing the effort of the government in improving the lives of youth who are the talent.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. And today we are talking about AIDS. The 21st International AIDS Conference ended last week in Durban, South Africa. Much progress has been made in the epidemic since last time the conference was held in Durban in the year 2000. But experts say much more still needs to be done. Among those who attended the AIDS 2016 was Michelle Warren, head of the AIDS advocacy organization, AVAC. From New York, he spoke to VOA's Joe DiCapua about the rating of the success of the conference on the scale of 1 to 10.
Well, you know, like any conference, there's both what happens there and what happens next. And I think the grade for me for AIDS 2016 is definitely in the 7 or 8 range for what was discussed at the conference. But the score to be determined in terms of what happens after the conference is a score that I think I'd want to come back to in a few months with you.
I heard a number of people at AIDS 2016 say they were very concerned about future funding, whether the funding would be there to maintain the progress of recent years. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. You know, the whole AIDS conversation has accelerated and evolved so much in the last 5 years, as you and I have talked about so often in the last couple of years. This idea of the possibility of ending the epidemic is quite tantalizing, and certainly the science makes it compelling. But there are huge barriers to achieving this great accomplishment. And not the only one, but certainly one of the major ones, is financing. So for me, one of the most important pieces of data presented at the conference was a very sobering one, which was that for the first time in over 5 years, there was a reduction in investment globally in the AIDS response. And that is coming at a time when we are collectively articulating great ambition, great promise, and none of that can be accomplished with a declining resource. And that's what we saw presented this week. So for all of the hoopla, for all of the ending AIDS rallying cries, we will take many steps back if we don't see the investment maintained, at least, and ideally even increased.
How do you make a choice? How do you find the balance between treating those already infected and then finding the money and the drugs to treat those who are not yet infected to prevent them from becoming an HIV patient?
This is one of the reasons why I feel like the conference doesn't get the highest score for me in terms of my scorecard. There has been this conversation over the last couple of years about treatment versus prevention, and over the last couple of years we see treatment as prevention, but primary prevention being left behind. I would have hoped this conference would have put an end to the treatment or prevention conversation. We've said over and over again that we cannot treat our way out of the epidemic and we cannot prevent our way out of the epidemic. We have got to do both. How do you do that with declining resources? Well, a lot of this is about how do we get smarter with what we do. It is absolutely essential that everybody who is diagnosed with HIV should be offered treatment. It is the right thing to do for health. It's the right thing to do for human rights. It's the global recommendation from the World Health Organization. But alone, that can't end the epidemic. And we've then got to get much smarter with prevention. And unfortunately, we are not nearly as strategic as a global community with prevention as we are with treatment. Prevention is harder. Prevention is, frankly, messier. But prevention is critical. So I don't think it's so much how do we get everybody on treatment and how do we offer prevention? I think we've just got to get smarter with prevention. We've got to focus our resources on what we know works. And we know that circumcision, in at least the countries where circumcision rates are low, has got to be scaled up. And in fact, we saw presented in Durban both success stories, but also a global decline in the last year for circumcision. There's no reason for that. And we now know oral PrEP is safe and effective. We've got to scale that up. I think one thing we need to be focusing on in terms of our resources is that HIV test. When people test positive, we have a clear pathway to help them get onto treatment. But when they test negative, we typically say, oh, you're negative, that's great, keep doing what you're doing, and then hopefully we never see them again. Or worse, we see them when they come back HIV infected. When we find people who are HIV negative who are at risk, we've got to be much more strategic and intensive with our offering of condom counseling, of circumcision where appropriate for young men, for PrEP where it's appropriate. We have got to do better and not just say, you're negative, good luck. We've got to say, you're negative, let's help you stay negative.
That's Michelle Warren, head of the AIDS advocacy organization, speaking to VOA's Joe DiCapua from New York. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. President Salva Kiir today swore in Taban Dengai as South Sudan's first vice president, replacing Riek Machar, who's been in hiding since fleeing Juba 2 weeks ago after fighting broke out between Machar's forces and those loyal to the president. Taban says his main priorities are to end the fighting, encourage IDPs to safely return home, and to merge the two armies into one. Chief Justice Chan Riek Madut administered the oath of office to Deng 1 day after the president issued an order to replace Machar. After his swearing in, Deng wiped away tears as he vowed to work with President Kiir in merging the SPLM-IO and SPLM armies into one. A South Sudanese analyst says the changes in the SPLM-IO leadership could drag South Sudan back into war. Remember, Mia Mingi says the August peace agreement should be implemented by both President Kiir and members of the SPLM-IO to avoid what he calls a full-scale war. Mia Mingi says the process that took place to replace Machar as the country's first vice president is a violation of the August peace deal. And finally, South Sudan's new first vice president says South Sudanese must support President Kiir to end insecurity in the country. In an exclusive interview with this show, Deng says the demilitarization of Juba Town under the August peace deal is a daunting challenge to the transitional government. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Agam Long Agar by Akwoi Jazz Band. We have been listening to Akwoi Jazz Band with the song Jam Long Agar. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.